everybody. Happy Thursday. I'm just glad to be back. Cheers, guys.
It's been forever. It's been a minute. Welcome, everyone. Welcome.
Mm-mm-mm. Thursday Night Live.
This is going to be an interesting one.
What is this stuff? What are we doing tonight? What is this?
Well, yeah, if you look on the where Sean normally sits, but he moved over. Those are different whiskeys that we have that were awarded or they were rated in the International Wine and Spirits Competition.
Oh, that's the topic for tonight's show, isn't it?
Okay. It is. Okay. That's a coincidence, isn't it?
That's a good segue there.
It's a big list. Nice. It's a lot of information.
So
we're going to go through that list.
We're going to go through the 2023 International Wine and Spirits Competition. And tonight we're only going to hit the scotches because there are so many spirits in there that there's no way we can do that in one show.
It's a lot.
So we're going to hit the scotch because that's our specialty. But first, who do we have in?
I don't know. Let's say hi to all these great people in our chat tonight. And a special hello to our podcast listeners, if you're listening.
Yes.
Appreciate you guys.
Actually, I have a guy at work that's listening to my podcast on his way to work now. So
It's really good.
Also me.
I listen to it in the car sometimes. Yeah. Kind of weird listening to yourself. But anyway.
Well, it's more of a critique than it is. I pretty much remember what we talked about, but just in case.
Especially at the end of the show, memory tends to fade a little.
pretty much true. Like, what was I thinking?
And a lot of times it'd be like Mark and I in some sort of side conversation, and I go back and I'm like, what did Andrew say about that? Because I don't remember. Or good Dr. Scotch information that I want to brush up.
Yeah,
on.
There's some so good.
There's definitely reasons to go back and listen. Yep.
Paying attention to. But anyway, Mystery Girl was in. Thank you for the thumbnail today. Good to see you in. Stephen Richard, happy Thursday. We got Tom Marr, of course. Yes, another live show. Woohoo!
There we go. Yep.
Paul M is in. Cheers, everyone. Eric Waite. He said he's never heard of
IWC. Well, that's because you haven't been to the website because it took me forever to find what IWSC stands for on the website.
Oh,
that's
yes, all they I talk have. About. Yes, I have, he says. Yeah. It's International Wine.
Too many Spirits. Acronyms. Yeah, their right. website is terrible. So you have to go into the About Us to find out what IWSC means.
Honestly, you're right
means.
Because I was double checking. I'm like, I think I know what it is, but it's not clear.
No, it is not.
Which is kind of like bad user experience. Web editors, fix your site.
Yep.
anywho, Mike Tuza, good to see you. Good evening, everyone. Trooper Henry, woo woo.
Time for a dream. Bucklinger, yeah. Alan, Chad.
Check on Chad's that. In.
Brandon's in. There's Everwin. Hello. Ahoy, mates.
Martin, good to see you, bro.
Malt Mini.
Good old George is in the house. Wheelhouse Whiskey.
Chuck.
Zach Andrews.
Looks like a good group.
I heard
there's Boomer too.
There's a little whisper going around that Zach's cutting his hair soon.
No.
What? Yes. We'll have to talk to him at the after show. But yes.
Don't do it, man.
He's doing it. Tom says a quality video and audio. That's great to know. Great to know. We see Jim, DB, she, who else? Bob H.
Who's cheers that to that guy.
All right, guys. So we said hi to everyone. Thank you all for being here. One last thing I do want to say. I just saw him pop him there. There he is. It's Alejandro. Good to see this guy.
Alejandro. Cheers to that guy.
Look at this.
Look what we got in the mail from this guy, by the way.
Very nice.
Yeah. Got to open that.
We appreciate it, man.
We'll talk to that in a little bit, but thank you so much for sending that. But guys, tonight's topic.
IWSC.
Wow. We've got a spreadsheet we're going to share here in a little bit, but it's...
I kind of want to, like, you dove into this a little bit more, like
I did.
Judging and stuff, and I'm curious about that aspect.
Yeah, so, there are many, many spirit competitions. So I even Googled, what's the reputation of IWSC? You know, is it just a fly-by-night organization, or is it something more? But it's actually one of the most prestigious. Mm-hmm. There's a couple up there that are right there, and it's kind of right up there with them. Because one of the things that's unique about it is their tasting panel has hundreds of people on it. And they get hundreds of whiskeys every year, hundreds of spirits. So they do everything from wine to spirits under their spirits, they have rum and they have mezcal and they have mixers and they've got low alcohol content things. And they've just, it's crazy the amount of stuff they have. And it all needs to get shipped to London for them to distribute out to their tasting groups. And it takes months. It's like a 6-month process to get the whole process through for all the tastings they do. So I think that's really interesting that it's and the thing is, so I actually pulled up a website of one of the guys that is one of the on the committee, the judging committee, and he was talking about kind of the process. And they have between five and six people on each committee. And the committees get a stack of whiskeys. They go through them blind, silently at first. And then and everybody scores and takes notes and has to score it. And then they talk about them individually to say, and then they discuss. And so, okay, this is what I got. This is what you got. This is my score. This is your score. And they have to come up with a combined score. So the number you see on the website is kind of a consensus score of five to six tasters.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So it's a somewhat of a hybrid. I mean, it's kind of like ours. We get an average score between the Scotch for Dummies. So like you
get
an
average
score.
Why wouldn't they just average the scores?
Well, because because there's a discussion that, I mean, okay. So part of the thing is, each whisking panel is devised to five or six people from within the industry. So everywhere from Richard Patterson to a bar owner, okay, to a whiskey ambassador, to a brand ambassador, to a head master distiller. So there's a wide range of people that are on these committees. So maybe some of the younger tasters need a little education or, you know, something like that to kind of discuss on a final score. And apparently there's even a thing where if they can't decide on a score, that whiskey goes to another committee to get a final score. So it is pretty blind. And the beauty of it's blind. So when you look at these lists of these scores and the what got gold, what got silver. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense generally it does, but there are a few whiskeys that seem to be way out of category, but that may be just because they had a different score that tasted that bottle this year because it's different. So
fair enough.
So it's a long process.
It is a long process. It's very involved. I know but the thing is, to get into this competition, essentially you have to send like two or three bottles of your whiskey plus 140 pounds. And then they manage all of it from that perspective.
I mean, think about what we do when we taste things, and I know it's different for the professionals, so they spit it out and do different things, but God, yeah, that's all you have to have a lot of time just to be able to take breaks and clean your palate and the story. Yep. And then the professionals, I know they can do better, but man, that's got to take forever.
It would be interesting. I don't know if it's all done in London, or can they do, you know, send samples and do Zoom discussions on it? I don't know how they get 400 people together in London do the tasting.
You have to be able to.
I think there's got to be some
period of, like, that's a long time to go through all those. That's not a one day deal.
And not everybody tastes every whiskey. Right. I mean, it's like you're getting the peated today's or something, you know.
Well, when I was looking through it, I was noticing the different, you know, kind of breakdowns of categories and whatever. And I would think that you would just focus in on a category or two.
I would think so. Yeah. You do a tasting panel of maybe two or three whiskeys at a time. And you do a tasting, you do it, make all your notes. And then once everybody's done, gone through it, then you start to talk about it.
Which is, I mean, it's a lot. Like, it's a lot.
And that's stuff. Where I have to give integrity, because we know how tough blind tastings are.
Oh.
And then doing a blind tasting with committee with people with so different backgrounds.
Yeah.
I mean, and then trying to figure out a final score. Who do you think wins that final score? The master distillers or the bar owner?
That makes you wonder, too.
I don't know. Some salty bar owners that would put up a good
fight. I have to say, you know, and we all know some brand ambassadors that are really good, and they really know their whiskey, and they can really pull out flavor.
It's probably as much politics as anything else, right? Like, I really like number B or whatever.
Yep.
And I really want to see that get a good score. And so I'm going to talk about it, you know, a little more passionately. Correct. Than I am the other one.
And that's the thing. They're all blind, and there's not a ranking. You just give it a number, and then the number sets its ranking.
But there's two things that come to mind for me, and just trying to be agnostic and not think about what you're drinking. Right. That's gotta be something that I guess they do well. Cause I know when we do things, I'm always trying to, like, is that a Glendronic? What is that, right?
Don't do that. You just give it a number.
And also, just like to your point earlier about profile and your palates, like, are, you know, you're a peated guy. You like, that's your thing, right? Are you going to, I mean, if you're doing awards, I'm sure you've taught yourself not to be biased, but I mean, how do you not give yourself a stronger opinion on a peated whiskey versus a non-peated, like, score-wise? Like, how do you
even there is a specific training course that all the judges go through every year to set the basics. You know, it's scored from essentially, I think it's scored from that, the classic 80 to 100 score that you do for whiskey competitions, that you, nothing gets below 80.
That always cracks me up.
Nothing gets to 100.
You mean 1 to 20?
And the, yeah. And basically, I think that from what I can tell, the scoring is a bronze medal is below 90. Silver is 90 to 95-ish, 94-ish maybe. And then gold is 95 to 97-ish. And then the outstanding gold is 98, maybe 97 and up. So then there were a couple of 99s this year. And a couple of 98s. So there are a few whiskeys that really stood out among the crowd.
I it cracks me up every time we talk about these whiskey competitions and they're like, all right, well, it goes to 100, but the lowest score you can get is an 80.
Yeah.
Like you can't get anything lower than an 80. I don't understand. Like,
it's kind of like going through 1, 2, 3, 4.
Cause 100%
everybody starts out at a B.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a B.
That's the worst score you can get is a B. You made whiskey,
it just resonates, you get a B. Better. It resonates better when if you
made
100.
If you made a really good whiskey, we'll give you an A. It's not that hard, right? Like it's a step up. It's not hard. But I would say, do you think that as a scorer, like I'm intrigued by the fact that they use a panel, and I'm also intrigued by the fact that they don't go publish like, well, these five guys sat down and gave a crappy score to this whiskey, right?
Well, they do. If you can go, you can go into each of these whiskeys and see who judged it.
But can you?
You can, really? But you don't know who scored what. But yeah, every whiskey on this list,
you can see who was on the panel.
You can click on who was the panel that judged it. Yeah.
But do you think that you would give a more honest score, even if, you know, so let's say the four of us were sitting here scoring whiskeys. Mm-hmm. But nobody would ever know that you gave it a 2 and I gave it a 4.
I don't know.
Do you think you would be more honest about it?
I mean, we're...
If all they were going to see was our average.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, probably. It's interesting. So there's a couple of comments that are coming in that are really interesting. So everyone asked a question. I think you're on top of it right now. Yeah. So with whiskey judging... do you like what you like? Otherwise, how do you judge? I know when I participated on a beer tasting panel several years ago, and there were criteria. Now, I don't know about this whiskey competition, so I can't tell about that. But with beer tasting competitions, you submit in a style. So it's an American IPA, or it's a American ale, or it's a stout, oatmeal stout.
Which is what they did here.
And then that profile has certain characteristics. So then you judge based on those characteristics. Now this one, I don't know if it's that clear. I mean, is there a characteristics of a peated scotch? Well, that's a little.
Well, they kind of split some hairs. Yeah, because they had like. Lightly peated cask finish. If it was cask strength, I mean, they split a bunch of hairs, blended versus single malt, peated, lightly peated, unpeated.
So they gave them to, they gave the judges in that category and say, these are the lightly peated. So they had an idea.
Have to compare apples to apples, I would think.
Yeah. I don't know if they told them what category they were getting, because I think all they got was an ABV and like a region, or like whether it be Scotch or a Japanese or anything like that. I think they got very little information.
Yeah, but if you
I would recommend you give them all lightly peated in one tasting.
Can you imagine putting an Oogadale versus like a Highland Park and say which one's better peat? I mean, that's not fair. Like you wouldn't. Correct. Well, so you have to kind of at least give them in the wheelhouse, if you will.
Yeah. I would think that you would want to give them kind of like your beer tasting. You want to give them like, these are the characteristics that we recognize as a lightly peated scotch.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so you base it off of that. And then at some point the subjective taste takes over and that's what gets you your extra bonusy points. Right.
That makes sense.
So it's a lot. Do we want to talk about some of these surprises?
Let's pause and do a little celebration here from Tom. Oh,
Tom R. Super chat. Thank you, Tom. Sir.
Cheers to that guy.
Cheers to my whiskey family. So Tom, that's a great, It's there aren't bad whiskey, only scotch that you don't enjoy yet.
Yet.
Yeah. We've converted, I've converted a few people to Pete, Bob H.
There are bad whiskeys.
Bob H.
Well, that's true.
Into the log of
that's
there's not a bunch of them, but they're out there.
Yeah. White Walker isn't a good whiskey. Scotch Blue. I think it's not too bad, but these guys are.
It was uneventful.
Uneventful.
I've got a couple others in mind as well. So, yeah, anything that tastes like nail polish, not a fan.
White Walker,
not a
fan. Nope. Nope.
All right, Connemara. So
let me go ahead and share the spreadsheet, guys, and get that up here. Okay, and I'll bump this down to the bottom.
So Drew was able to pull the CSV file off the website and was able to do this. So we can sort through these anyway.
Hopefully you guys can read it. I can zoom in if need be. Let me know.
If you watch it on your phone, it may be a little small. But
yeah,
We'll talk through it. And I don't know if we're going to be able to see the comments doing that. But if you have questions, let's do that. So where do you want to start? You want to start with some of the...
You want to go to bronze?
Yeah, let's start with bronze. So I think the bronze was, and they don't, they're not real. They don't disclose that. Did they give a medal to everyone? So the bronze is kind of the thanks for showing up medal. I don't know, but let's hit some of these bronze ones. And it's a little surprising.
I got to think if you're going to the trouble of like sending in three bottles and paying your dues and stuff, that they're going to at least give you an 80. Right. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, you can't get anything below really
prestigious.
No. And ISW or IWSC bronze is probably not that impressive unless, I don't know. It maybe not be, but so let's look at some of these bronzes.
Sure.
Now you highlighted some that are interesting.
Well, I mean, there, and then we talked before the show started, like there's quite a bit on here and I feel like we've had our share of scotches and, and understanding of what's out there. And there's so much on here I've never heard of.
Yeah. One of the things that's interesting is they do, if you go to the website, you can sort by market as well. Like, is it available in the US market? Is it UK or is it China? There's a couple of marks you can choose from. So it's the website is really great. I don't even know what is the ISWC.com.
Just search for
international with 23 results.
So this is sorted right now, bronze. I think it's by score is sorted.
Yeah.
So I guess we're getting into peat and unpeated, and then we're getting into blended malt, et cetera. So we've got name, we've got producer, the year, which is obviously 2023, and then different categories here, the score, then the medal. So we got ABV too, but I don't think it's that big of a deal here.
No.
So I don't want to go through all of these, but I want to call out some ones here. And if you've got some questions in the chat, like, you know, shockers as well, or, you know, this is, you know, absolutely you guys need to have this one because there's quite a few in here. Again, I've never heard of.
Yeah. So Grants is a really common, especially in France, they're a really common blended whiskey, blended scotch. And so there are several Grants in there here. William Grant Brothers there, Grant Triple Wood. Royal Salute. So this is interesting that Royal Salute 21.
I think, is that the one, the bottle over there? Or
is that the one that's in the
blue bottle right there next to
it? Yeah. The ceramic empty, bottle got a bronze.
Grab that Dewars too.
I think they got a pretty good score from us. Now there are some other Royal Salutes that are far higher up in the rankings. That's the 21. That's what,
but it's not the lost.
Oh, okay.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
So
the other 21 is on the gold.
Gotcha.
This one is on.
Oh, okay. So if you
that was a really good bottle. I don't think it was terribly expensive.
It wasn't crazy. No, I think we gave it some comparable to the double double.
Yeah,
it was comparable to the Johnny Blue a little bit.
I think so.
Johnny Walker Green.
Right? Yeah, Johnny Walker Green. That's a pretty good whiskey. It got some great scores, but didn't show up too well here. Monkey Shoulder again. We gave a great score. Gave it a value.
That's the Smoky Monkey.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. That's a Smoky. The other one, actually, I think got silver.
Oh, okay. So the Smoky Monkey, so which we
I have had it.
Okay.
Did we have? And it was. I tried a sample of it, and it's been years ago. I don't remember it being quite as good as the normal Monkey Shoulder. It just kind of lost a step on that, trying to get a little bit more smoke in their mix.
I bet it would be good in a penicillin, though.
I mean, you know, everything's good.
Or in an old fashioned. I can use that in old fashioned, smoky old fashioned. All right, keep on rolling.
Rock Island, here. Isn't that?
No, this is North Rock Oyster. This is Douglas Lang.
So I'm going to go through these real quick. Look at these guys.
So these guys. The Ardbeg Ugadale, which is one of our favorite Ardbegs, is a bronze. So
I'm not buying it.
Well, that's concerning. The question,
to be fair, though, it's an 89, so it's almost a silver.
Yeah, but is there anything below 89 on this list?
I don't know, man.
It doesn't look like it. It's almost a silver. So, Deanston 10 Bordeaux Red. I mean, that's a good whiskey,
too. That's a good whiskey, too. Yeah. Look at the Tumatau. Now, we've had a couple of those bottles.
They're okay. I mean, they're decent. I don't know. I mean, that's probably a bronze.
But the thing is, that bottle, and I don't know exactly the 10-year-old, but
the same score.
What?
Mm, no,
that's not right.
Or that Deanston. That's a good bottle.
Deanston's really good too. So I don't know about those.
How about a 23-year-old Tobermory?
Yeah. I bet they were disappointed with that. Now,
to be fair, I've had some scotches with, you know, older age statements that weren't everything I hoped they would be.
I mean, the 25.
Those just kind of unidimensional, but you know, what are you going to do?
Let me pause real quick and check out the comments, make sure nothing's going crazy over there. Yeah, 55 in Cali. So what's Royal Salutes? Yeah, they're not that bad, actually. They're kind of cheap.
Smoky Monkey, Testing Monkey Shoulders.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Fair.
All right.
So Dura 14, rye.
Oh, interesting. Rye cask. So and then there's Old Pulteney 10, which I don't think I've ever had the
10.
That must not be in the U.S. market. I don't think that's in the U.S. market. One.
And these are all unpeated. Yeah, unpeated. Right. Okay. Gotcha.
16 French oak. Now. That sounds delicious.
So here's the Glenmorangie 10-year-old.
Yeah, the original. Yeah.
That whiskey comes out swinging.
Yeah, it does.
There's some distilleries on here that I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not in the right spot.
I mean, that Glenmo did well for us in our fights, and we constantly
surprisingly well.
It is such a good one now, but I guess I'm trying to say is it worthy of a silver or gold though? I don't think so. I think it's right where it's close to where it needs to be.
Well,
in the grand scheme of, you know, diversity.
I don't know. I mean,
it's pretty damn good though.
You know, what other, we should go and look and see what other stuff it was up against in the unpeated.
Well, all those right there.
The bronze. What's in silver and gold?
Yeah, there's a ton of silvers. So the 90,
we'll come back to
the
that.
91 to the 90 to 94 category is so high.
Lord, the Spoon of Hobbit is so good.
No, that is that the cast strength?
No.
Okay, so that's the, that's a,
that, that's a bronze.
This is the one that's a bronze. We haven't talked about it yet, but this won for us, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I guess maybe they didn't want us on the tasting panel.
We aren't the only one.
No.
That one got the call back.
Yeah.
It did.
All right, keep going. Neck Door, okay.
Neck Door, yep.
Venmo.
Which I think that one's unique. I mean, it's very
that unique. That one's probably my least favorite of the
I would agree with you on that, yeah.
It's an acquired taste, so...
Whiskey, wait.
Probably good.
Line 160. Whiskey of Voodoo, Mask of Death, 10-year-old. Wow, that's a that's a unique name there.
I don't think Voodoo and Scotch go together.
Generally not. No,
I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Black Bull, and I just had some of
that. Yeah, we had Black Bull. That was pretty tasty.
That actually was pretty good. I feel like, you know, this list makes me feel better about what we do because I question some of our decisions. Like, oh, do we rate it too high? Whatever.
Keep in mind,
it's like,
right. These are all blind tasted by independent panels. I mean, now maybe some of these are, if they really know the whiskey, they may be able to pick out what they are and they say, I'm not going to give this one a good score.
Here's something else to consider when you're looking at these lists.
Grand Old Par.
I find that you get people that are extremely knowledgeable and you put them together in a room and you have them talk about stuff and they don't always come up with the answer that the common folk would come up with.
That could be true.
Right?
So now, I'd love to be one of these tasting panels, but I don't think they'll fly me to London.
I will say we have had our fair share of scotches over the years. And I think we do a fairly good job of, you know, judging one thing against another. Grand Old Par is only a bronze, huh?
Well, I mean, it's down to 87. I mean, that's so probably it's an everyday drinker, $20
That's a good one, man.
Blended scotch. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's usually everywhere. Not
look at
Indiana,
that.
But
at the bottom of the list.
Bottom of the list at 85, the
12 year old single malt.
The Buna 12.
Just barely made the list. So that's the other thing that I would. I wonder if
that's crazy.
You get like in your head a little bit, maybe, because you're judging this competition. And I mean, a lot of these people that are doing this have very good palates and are very descriptive. But are you actually tasting it? How, like, I mean, at the end of the day, that's a marketing tool, right? To sell more.
Yeah. How much stout is really into this awards list?
I mean, I'm sure that there's definitely some people that go and buy a bottle based on the fact that it has a gold medal.
Yes.
Right?
The gold and the gold outstanding is absolutely a marketing tool, but I would not put a IWSC bronze on this bottle because especially the 85 score. That's like, I mean, if the minimum score is 80, that's like barely above. That's a one and
it's
a
almost,
half.
It's almost too much whiskey for them to slot in and figure out where they sit. You know what I mean? It's like you'd be better off with half of that to really. I feel like it was almost rushed.
Yeah.
Just to get through. Like, you know, like, did you really spend enough time with this bottle? Because I mean, right. I think this Buna deserves more than the bronze.
It may be I mean, maybe it was a bunch of master distillers.
Now, to be fair, didn't we vote it off the island and it got a call?
We did. We did. I agree. I think I disagreed with that vote, but yes, we voted it off. So
it is what it is.
I'm so, just saying.
Any given day, I would almost say maybe some. I like the idea that they're using a panel.
I do too.
Because I think that's a blind. Really a blind panel, I think, gives a much more fair representation. I would almost say you have to have like two blind panels judging the exact same stuff and then average the scores from those or something to like try and get a more consistent result. I don't know. Like at the end of the day, it's all subjective.
There's some good comments here. Let me pull them up. So everyone, Scotch for Dummies, some of those expensive whiskeys are being humbled by much less expensive whiskeys.
Yep.
You got that right.
That's totally fair.
But humbled is a common word you hear when you do any kind of judging in whiskey.
Yep. I will say the gold medals were the ones that when I was digging through, I'm like, oh, well, that only got like 1 point better than this other like really not expensive whiskey.
Yeah, it could go in. Yeah, well, already tasted tomorrow.
And
better,
there was
right?
a couple that we're going to talk about that I'm like, oh, the cheapest bottle in the whole category won that thing.
Yes. Wait till we get to that.
Again, that's blind.
That's awesome.
Blind whiskeys.
I do like seeing that stuff. I really do enjoy the fact that they had whiskeys on like in the gold medal page that are everyday drinker, affordable whiskeys. Like, I don't know if I agree with every call they made, but
seems like everyone sent enough samples in or whatnot to get in there.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Eric White says, how many whiskeys does each panel member judge in a day?
I don't have that information.
After three drams, they're all getting 90 plus. You're right about that.
This is really good. I like
for 12 and then we have lunch.
They actually may be professionals and actually spit out their whiskey when they taste it, though.
I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, I hear your words, but I don't understand what you're talking about.
I think Martin says it best here. That's why you do blinds. And then he says, however, when you taste something in a long line of tastings matter.
Yes. When you taste it,
I will say that's why I kind of liked our King of the Hill last year.
Yeah,
because I think one against one is a very fair battle.
Yeah, the speed dramming we did earlier was
it's a lot,
a little aggressive. Yeah,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and you guys ready for next?
You want to hit some silvers?
Let's hit some silvers here.
I'm tasting this bronze first.
The bronze is good.
If I remember the silver category had by far the most whiskeys in it. It was like, if you look at their website, it's not nearly as organized.
Let me geek out for a second. Okay. I did pivot table this.
Oh, look at that.
And let me sort this by, you mentioned something about how many. So this is just in bronze, right? And so I'm not getting anything now. I messed something up. How about we do?
No, what are you talking about?
It's not showing the.
That's from the Boone Hub. There it is.
There it is. I got it back. Okay. I said to undo something.
That's all of it though.
Yes. So let me take care of this. And okay. Here we go. And close this. And does it give us a total count?
No.
93.
93 bronzes.
Bronze, okay. Yeah. Yes. And then if you look at why this is such a, oh, I zoomed in earlier so they could see, that's why. If you look at the totals here, Chivas, we talked about this earlier. It came out and won. It got 10 awards in the bronze.
In the bronze, yeah. It won the most bronzes, which I guess is okay. I think you probably prefer to have more silvers, but a lot of the Chivas Regals are in that category.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on your price point on some of those, right?
Exactly.
Like 100 Pipers, probably in the right spot.
Right. Yeah, and the Regals in there. So
the Royal Salute.
The 12-year-old Chivas is honestly really good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's
30 good. Bucks or something like that. Maybe not even that much now.
All right, let's hit the silvers and see how many you're in that one.
And silvers?
Category. Yeah.
Sure. All right, and then we'll go through them. So here's
and then we'll do the gold and gold outstanding together.
So you said there's a lot more in this. Oh my God.
320.
Yeah. So keep in mind this is in that 90 to 95 category, 94 which category.
I guess that's where a lot of whiskey.
You're talking about right? a decent whiskey, nothing special, but nothing bad. And there's a lot here. Yeah.
Okay. Sorted. Done. So I kind of did this one too a little bit, I think. It's colored, but
I didn't get a chance to look through the silver very much. So
lots of Johnny Walkers.
I'm just going to comment as I see it.
I don't know how this is sorted, but you know, so lots of Johnny Walkers.
I thought the black was
not sorted by score. Hold on. A second.
That was a black sherry.
Ah.
So Johnny Walker Black is in this one, but there's a Johnny Walker Black sherry cask that's in the.
There we go. This gold. Is sorted by score. Sorry.
Okay. So we start at 94. So this is the top of the silver category. Mm-hmm. Black Bull 30-year-old.
I didn't know they made a 30-year-old.
Gee, many Christmas. So this is the interesting thing here. There are some pretty old whiskeys in this category, and they've got a silver medal.
Yeah.
More sure, I'm sharing real quick. Is that the one, the Royal?
I guess it's better than a bronze.
Is that the malt blend? Is that what we have here? The Royal Salute 21?
Yes, I believe.
This one?
Yeah.
Might be.
No, this is.
Doesn't say in the bottle.
Some signature or something. Okay.
Okay.
21 years old.
All right. Waterproof blended malt scotch whiskey.
From McDuff. Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Scroll
one.
Down. See if there's anything that.
There's an 18 year old Highland Park, the Viking Pride.
Kubelken 15.
Oh, yeah. 94 on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Jura 18 year old.
There's a lot more familiar names in this category, I will say. Artbeg 25 landed in here.
Yeah. Okay. Crazy. They didn't like Artbeg at all.
I wonder how
look at this.
SMWS picked bottles to go into this.
That is interesting.
Because that was the very first thing that I saw when I noticed that they had bottles in here. Like you do.
Why bother? I guess just get the name.
Well, I mean, I think it's for the prestige, right? Like we're bottling, you know, award-winning whiskeys, you know, for people that aren't aware of them, I guess.
Yeah, but that's true. It's advertising.
How do you pick which cask you're going to use?
I think right? You pick your best, but.
You said decent 12-year-old?
Glenfiddich 30? It's a silver?
And the 21.
Then Caddam 25. Man, it's okay, so
the. That Project XX
is
got the
here?
Exact same score as the 30 and the 21.
Right there, down. Project XX.
There it is.
Huh.
Wow. I beg to differ.
That was not a good bottle.
It was not a good bottle.
Old Colby Hoodart. That's the peated, isn't it?
Hoodart, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Devrin 12-year-old. We've had that
I've
one.
I've got Devrin, but it's a
we've had the 12. Well, it was 18. Unimpressive.
Well, it's a silver. Virgin Oak.
Oh, the
decent Virgin Oak.
The Caribbean Reserve Glenlivet is actually decent.
on the decent virgin oak. I mean, it's an inexpensive whiskey, so it's not fantastic, but
that's actually kudos for that, getting silver.
Compared to Aberfeldy 21 Madeira cask, gosh, it's so interesting. And it's same score as all these.
You know, what would be really cool is if someone took the time, and I'm not doing it, by the way, took the time and put prices on some of these bottles at ballpark. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Would you see some craziness? Because that Deanston virgin oak, maybe 30 bucks yeah. maybe right now. It's probably one of the best bargains you're going to find on a great single malt scotch.
Yep.
And you look at some of these other ones, like even the 21-year-old and hell, any of these
Glenn Going Batch 100 Glenn bucks. Going Batch 10, same right. score.
Aberfeldy 21 Madeira. Yeah.
I mean, come on. it's crazy.
There's definitely a lot more expensive bottles on this list.
Man, so interesting. Shiva's 18 is good, man. It's interesting.
It makes you like, okay, so let's pause for a second and let's just spin on that for a second. And by the way, before we get going, let me remove this and call out DB. She's super chat. Halfway through the show. Yeah. Thank you very much. Good to see you. Cheers. It's interesting because, you know, how much heat have we gotten through the years about, why do you guys add price? It's this, or why do you guys? And to me, I feel like when we started this show damn near 8 years ago, our whole point was the common person walking into a liquor store and finding something
for sure.
And by those rules, you have to look at price because it makes a difference into what you're buying. Mm-hmm. And hopefully what we're helping you is it worth that price, et cetera. This list does not take that into account at all.
It's based on palate. I mean, it's palate and nose and all. It's pure.
So whose would you prefer?
Well,
that's my point.
Here's the other thing that I think the taking price into consideration is at least it gives a frame of reference. Because if we give a 3.5 on something that we paid 30 bucks for, and then 4 years later, when you go to look at that video and that bottle's now 100 bucks.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It also comes into play in your profile too, because if you're getting into something you don't know what you're talking about, that doesn't have profile on there. So other than it says ex bourbon or unpeated.
Well,
or,
if you click on the whiskey, it does. There is a 2-sentence description of
on the website.
Yeah, on the website.
Okay,
so you can, the website is really good. That's the thing I like about good. It. Tells you it gives you the score. It tells you whether it's a vegan whiskey or not. It tells you whether it's biodiverse.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little bit overkill. yeah.
Which whiskeys aren't?
I don't know how you make how you make a biodiverse whiskey. Maybe it's for the wine. I was thinking
the vegan.
Yeah.
What do you like? Do they throw like they kill some pigs and throw it in the?
Yeah, and most of them say no, they're not vegan.
I'm gonna let you ponder on that one for a little bit. I'm not sure.
Maybe they're worried about the yeast.
Yeah.
Is that an animal? No.
We're getting off topic here, but the thing is all this stuff is completely biased on in our opinions and their opinions and things. Correct, and you have to look at this knowing, and I think that's kind of, I'm probably going to get crazy soapbox here, but that's kind of the world we're living in right now with, especially if you look at the bourbons and stuff, people are so unaware that they're buying into hype and karma and other things going on out there they think they need to buy versus what do you like? Now, if you've got money to spend and do stuff, have at it, right? If you're a collector, et cetera.
Yep.
But if you've got, like, if you're a normal person working day to day and stuff, I think you might want to listen to somebody like a whiskey tuber or someone's actually doing it from the heart, trying to save you some money based on profile and taste versus, hey, here's a whiskey that we think is really great. Well, it's only $50,000, but go buy it.
Everybody on here, I mean, Eric Waite was commenting on Deanston Virgin Oak and that he just did it and was surprised how good it was.
Exceeded his $39.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. You know, you don't have to go spend $400 to get a good bottle. Like a lot of the stuff that we did last year, I was surprised by. We had some really good bottles that we
That's what made that whole series so great is because even put us to the test, like you don't know what's out here and you think you know, but you really don't know.
You don't.
You're humbled. And by the way, Glenmoe 10 did really good. Like what? It's crazy. Oh,
there's an answer to your vegan.
So Cohen says that some sherry is not vegan. And that's why the whiskey, what do they like line the cask? Well, I guess if you use beeswax to seal a cask, maybe.
That's a lot of work. Yeah. It's whiskey.
All right. So we're not going to go into those. I mean, yes. So I do actually recommend all of you go out to the IWSC website because it's another data point for your journey.
I do like the fact that reviewed a ridiculous
amount. Yeah. Let's go back through the list real quick.
Yeah, let's keep going. Let's keep going.
You want to skip the
Well, I'm just, is anything else coming out here real quick that
Coahuila, let's go through them pretty quick.
Yeah. They can only see from like 158 up. So I'm trying to make sure I get up high enough for them.
Oh, okay.
Abloh 21.
There's a lot of whiskeys on here that I'm.
I've not heard.
There's old Pulteney 12 and 15.
Yeah, Benfic 15. Silver.
They weren't too fond of the old Pulteneys.
12, really? They got silver though.
Keep scrolling up to the Balvenie 12 Doublewood, which is, in my opinion, is pretty.
Johnny Walker Blue.
Oh no.
Blue and red got the same score.
Oh, that is so funny.
So we're trying to get into like WTF here a little bit.
How is that even possible?
Like
now okay, hold on, time out. It's possible because they're both blue's very subtle. Like if you don't know you're drinking blue, but it's
even the same lightly peated category.
I can tell you if you give me a glass of blue and a glass of red.
No, for sure.
Without a doubt, red is going to get a lower score.
but if blue isn't, if blue, what's the category? Lightly peated?
Lightly peated. It's like barely peated.
It's, if you're scoring it based on that, really? You probably wouldn't give everyone a score.
I wouldn't call it lightly peated. It's barely.
Can I hear a side story real quick?
Sure.
So I had a group come in the restaurant. 2-3 weeks ago, somebody's retirement party, and they're upstairs in the lounge, and they started ordering shots of blue.
Okay.
Well, the blue in the lounge is the Ghost and Rare.
Oh.
And they drank 2/3 of that bottle.
Whoa.
But they were doing shots of it. And they were like, this is a lot stronger than I remember blue being. I'm like, yeah, because it's not.
Not blue.
I can run downstairs and get you a regular bottle of blue, but that's not.
You guys made your money that night.
Yeah.
So what does a shot of Johnny Walker Blue typically go for in like a regular restaurant?
In my bar or in a normal bar?
Well, okay, both. Let's give you a range.
Like my bar, I think we're 28, maybe.
Oh, that's not bad.
Something like that. Like I try to keep the prices reasonable so people can drink it.
Yeah.
I've seen it in the 60s, 70s, and that's for like a normal blue, you know, not like anything special. So
yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Hazelburn Harmony Blended. Okay. Shackleton.
That's hazelnut.
Ardbeg. Oh, thank 10. Really?
Scroll back up. Yeah, keep scrolling up. So that Ardbeg 10 just got a little bit lower score than Johnny Blue. And I know the same score.
Wow. Okay, you know what?
One's lightly.
I can see both of those kind of being there. Honestly,
I can see them being in silver.
Yeah,
tens. But I can't believe the same exact score though. But
I just had a sip of the 10 earlier, and it's delicious. So
yeah, can you hand me that Peat Monster over there?
Yeah, I think I want some Peat Monster too. Actually,
it's your the old brown label too. Which
I had
is
a
my
little bit of that.
Favorite.
It's delicious.
18-year-old Deanston. I think that's I would agree that's a silver based on what I know of it.
18 Deanston.
Yeah, it's good, but it's nothing to write home about. Badnock.
I don't think the Glenn founders
Scotia double cask.
Glenlivet Founders Reserve. I'm gonna call that one.
Maybe that should be a bronze.
La Santa is in there. 12-year-old. What?
Nope.
All right.
Yeah,
so
wait, hold on. It's unpeated. It's not. Is it? What's the category?
Yeah, it's unpeated. It's single malt unpeated.
Yeah, but I thought it had. Isn't it sherry?
Oh, yeah, is it one is. We had sherry? There's not a sherry. I don't think there's a sherry category.
Okay.
Still.
So, if we want to go through these fairly fast, because I want to get to the gold and gold.
I know. Yeah, but special. It's like Rolls 300. You're right. So,
Valentine's 23.
Double doers.
Double. Yeah, the double. Really?
Corey Reckon.
What?
Yeah, all the Corey Reckons. All the Ardbegs.
It's Wee Beastie is
the same score same as Corey Bracken.
You're crazy. Insane. And
it got a higher score than the Ugadale.
Lecheg 18. Come on.
So guys, I said that I have to have respect. This is one of the most respected ones. We dramatically disagree with some of the scoring.
Yeah.
But it's all blind, dude. I mean,
now I got to go to this website, find out who
badmouth
some of our favorites. And
yeah, because you can see that. And the thing is about the website is, again, you can go to each whiskey, you click on the details about it, it'll tell you who tasted it. You click on the guy's name and you can see his story.
And then it gives you his address.
Beat him up.
It does typically tell you who they work for, though. So whether it be a master distiller at Old Pulteney or whatever.
So that's
the silver.
Let's look at gold.
Let's go to the gold. Do the gold and gold at the same time, because the gold outstanding will kick on the top.
Okay.
If you sort by
so this is just a gold count, period. 128.
All right.
Anybody standing
so
out
still
here?
More than the bronze.
Chivas has still got the most.
Well, Chivas must have put in 100 whiskeys.
They must have.
I mean, if you got that.
Well, William Grant, right? They got 15, actually.
Yeah, wow. That's a lot.
Oh, wow.
Well, the Balvenies kicked in.
Yeah, there. They did. Wow, okay.
Airstone got a.
Isn't that a Total Wine?
I'm sorry. Hard pass on that.
But it got a gold. So, that's going to be on their label next year.
I don't know. All right. Some of this stuff is a little goofy. I'm trying to get there. Hold on.
All right.
You're talking. I'm a little slow. Yeah,
you're doing that. Okay.
You do your thing, man. All right. So I think that they've got some hits and some misses thus far.
Yeah. It's, and that's, again, that's the advantage and disadvantages of having probably 10 or 15, 20 different tasting panels.
How do you score? Like, the one that is really sticking out for me is the Johnnie Walker Blue and the Johnnie Walker Red.
Same score.
I don't understand that.
Why would I pay 10 times the price for blue?
And I'm not saying they're wrong about putting the blue in the silver category. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I just don't think that those two whiskeys should in any way have the same score.
I agree with you.
Look who decided to join us.
Oh.
Look who's that.
Who's that guy?
All right. Can we sort by score?
Yep. I think it is by score.
There's a 98 below the 95s.
Oh, you're right. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to start with the top.
Why isn't this
one? Maybe.
I'm going to do my number.
Give me just a second one. There we go.
There you go. All right. So the best whiskey that they rated was a Glenturret Triple Wood 22 single release, 22 release single malt scotch whiskey. So that got a 99.
I'd say that's
probably a good whiskey, and probably Glenturret. I don't know. Maybe it's not even that expensive. Who knows?
Did we go buy any?
No, we don't have any of these. So we were looking at this today. Royal Sleuth 30. Yeah. So these are 98. I mean, so these 98s are gold outstandings.
But the ones that surprise me are like, it isn't the, the Royal Salute 62 gun salute, because that's an expensive bottle.
Yeah.
It's the 10-year-old Loch Lomond.
Right. Right.
Where 98. Got a 98.
You know, like that's
Craigellachie 13.
You can go buy that bottle right now at the liquor store for not very much. Mm-hmm. Glendronic 21.
Parliament.
Yep. Parliament. 21-year-old Deanston.
21-year-old
Tomintal. All right.
And again, these are blind. 25. So
yeah, that's a good one.
Inchmurin.
Albini 21.
Wow. That's a Portwood, though.
And then there's a SMWS bottle there.
Wow, there is.
That's a 98.
Crazy. Was that Flamenco Brava? I don't know what the hell.
55.74. And somebody out there has a bottle.
What is that bottle? 55.
And now we're dropping down to 96. So still quite good. And the double doubles. Yeah. The double doubles
are representing on this.
They're really a good whiskey.
But Chivas sent everything they have. So
yeah, that is true. They pretty much sent their whole lineup.
15-year-old revival. Boom.
There you go.
What did they get? It got 96. That's honestly,
Go on Balvenie Week of Peat. I love that. I love that.
That's a great one. Yes.
55 Royal Bracla.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Huh.
So I mean, there's a lot of whiskeys on this particular list that I'm like, it's not surprising. Glenfiddich 23-year-old, you know, I mean, a lot of the ones that are older and more distinguished, but there's definitely some stuff on here.
Well, yeah, go to line 252, Johnny Walker Black Label, the Sherry Edition, 95. And that's probably what, a $35 bottle or 40, maybe. I don't know what the Sherry Edition costs. That's probably a finishing that we don't have.
That sounds good.
Well, the Compass Box Artist Blend.
Where?
Right there, 260 on 262.
Yep.
That's a $35 bottle, right?
And Hedonism. That one's not bad.
Artist, and Compass Box has quite a few on here as well.
Yeah.
Hedonism. There's Hedonism, yeah.
So Aldi, is that like the Aldi grocery store company?
It can't be. It cannot be.
I don't know.
I'm kind of encouraged by how many I'm seeing from Loch Lomond on this gold list. That's interesting to me.
It is, because we haven't really got into Loch Lomond that much.
So that may be something you should consider as a genre that, wow, look at all of the high-rated Loch Lomond.
That's a great point. Take this, if anything from this list, take it, sort it by producers and metals, and look at that and say, hey, what's my profile? Does it fit this? And start buying some of those. Because that's what I'll probably do.
Yeah, there's some Lechaigues in here. Yeah.
I enjoy the fact that Lechaig has a couple on this gold list.
And look, if you keep scrolling up, a Lechaig 9-year-old Bordeaux cask, 95. 9-year-old whiskey. It's just amazing. There's
another SNWS in here.
Glendronics there. All right. Yeah.
25 and 30-year-old Boonehaven.
Wow.
They both scored the same.
And in the 95s now.
Glen Scotia, 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Cambu 12.
Glen Going 21. Oh, yeah.
Cambu.
I mean, very recognizable.
Nice. The Signet made it. I like that.
Signet. Oh, my gosh.
But would you guys put Glenlivet 15 in the gold medal category and not some of those that we saw in the silver and bronze?
On the Balvenie 12-year-old Sweet Toast of American Oak.
I love that bottle, actually.
But the same score as a 25-year-old.
Well, that just tells you can save some money, Andrew.
Yeah, it takes half as long to make it. So right? It's cool.
So let's go through some more, but this... Well, we're done. Okay. Pause. Because I got something to say. This list is... I'm just going to say it's bullshit.
But it's an independent tasting, guys.
Bullshit. I feel like it's a throw in the dart of some things out there that may give you some decent ideas of what they are. I think it's... There's some things out there that I'm scratching my head. Like, I don't understand how these, I know it's blind. I get that, but it doesn't make sense at all on how you're rating some of these and you're picking some of these over the others.
We need to get somebody from this committee to come on the show, and we need to talk through some of this. I wonder if we could get somebody from the IWSC to come online and just talk
why their list is bullshit
and talk. Well, because you know that the people who made the list are looking at this going, that doesn't make sense. A 12-year-old and 25-year-old is the same score. They've got to understand that. So they've got to have an explanation for that.
I would say it's not that there is a 12-year-old and a 25-year-old with the same score. Cause I can guarantee you but I think it's that you have a 12-year-old and a 25-year-old from the same distillery that
are brand names
next to each other. And I don't understand. And just knowing a lot of the whiskeys that we've tried on that list, and there's a good number on there that we've had.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way I would ever score that. And that would not ever get the same score.
No way.
It just doesn't make any sense. And now I will say, based on time too, I mean, if we had 8 years back and we're able to do them all again in what, 6 weeks or whatever, it would be interesting to see what we come up with too. Yeah. Probably bullshit too.
That's fair.
Mark's calling us out.
What did he say?
Yeah, we're not going to get them on after they see this podcast.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, you're probably right. I kind of screwed myself.
Do we need to cut some of that out?
I'll just trim that out. It's
Why don't you come on our show so we can all step outside and talk about your list?
That's right. Yeah, oh, my gosh.
I will say that what I take away from lists like these isn't necessarily that I think they got a bunch of stuff wrong, because I'm sure we get a bunch of stuff wrong.
No,
there's always people that are probably like, you guys are crazy.
Yeah, you guys are dummies. Yeah.
But I do think that what I do pull out of those is when I see like stuff that we haven't had that I'm like, that's like a $40 bottle.
Yeah.
Or stuff that I haven't had in a long time, but I'm like, oh yeah, that was pretty good. I haven't had that one in a while. And so, I mean, it's kind of a refresher course and things that are interesting.
Yeah.
And I always like to see, you know, an underdog come out on top against, you know, a 30-year-old scotch that's been, pampered and has all of the things going for it. And, you know, then some tatted up Lechaig just walks in and is like, I'm going to take that gold medal from everybody. So, yeah. I mean, I think
9-year-old whiskey's up against a 30-year-old. Like, hey, throw down, baby. Woo.
I feel like if you're looking at this list, you're not a beginner.
You're right.
You've got some ideas. You've been getting into scotch for a few months at least or something, or you've had at least, you know, a few bottles on your belt to understand some of this stuff, because it's number one, if you just look at the list alone, you have no idea what you're looking at. It's
right.
Good luck.
Right.
I mean, right. But I mean, so you have to have an idea. So I think a lot of people, I'm interested if you're still here and still watching, I'd love to see your comments below on this and say, what do you think about this list? Because I'm curious of the people that are kind of in our genre of drinking whiskeys and scotches. Like, what do you think about this? Is it bullshit to you? Do you think it's actually something that is useful? You know, what are your thoughts in general?
I think a lot of the people that come and watch us are trying to get information either from ourselves or from the whiskey community in general about what we think about, you know, different bottles and stuff. And so it's just another tool, I guess, but I'm not looking for a gold medal on a bottle before I buy it. So, I mean, it's part marketing, but
the question is, if you were in the liquor store and you saw a gold medal on it, would you be more inclined to buy it with a 90, with a 95 or 96 rating on it?
Probably not. to be perfectly, but I'm probably not that guy.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, two things. To be fair, I mean, it was rushed. It was hard. It was 65 samples a day. What Peter was saying, for example, like I can see where things probably get skewed or whatever. But to your point earlier, I think someone said it. Like, if nothing else, download the CSV.
Yeah.
Make your own decisions. Sort by producer, and figure out like, okay, to your point, Sean, like I'm going to buy some bottles off this list that I didn't know of, because I'm curious now to see.
Especially the distilleries that I'm like, I've never had something from them and we've talked about it before, or stuff that got a really high score from somebody that I'm like, I've never heard from these guys before.
Yeah.
Especially the stuff that got like, what is it? Like the
gold outstanding.
The outstanding golds.
Yep.
I mean, there was some stuff on there that I'm like, you know, that probably be worth a hit. So,
yeah. All right. Well,
Mark's probably got a couple bottles in his basement.
So Peter Newton has some information there that some of the golds are retested. So it goes through another committee and things like that. So he's got some information on there, but I really would like to contact somebody from the committee and see.
Don't tell them about our show.
Well, no, I think we need to load them up with what we're coming at them with. I mean, I'm willing to listen. I just don't understand. So you got to explain to me why this is like this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I don't think we would disagree with a lot of the calls.
I would agree.
I think that it was just interesting that there were whiskeys that were very different, and obviously one being a better quality whiskey. So how are you guys scoring these? Like, what does this process look like on your end? And is that kind of why they're ending up? Because I saw not just Johnny Walker, but there was a lot of distilleries where like all of their stuff was kind of congregated in a similar,
the same score.
Scoring. Yeah. You know, they've all got like a 92. Yeah. Okay, well, is it because, you know, 90% of the points are automatically, you know, kind of based off the category, and then there's some subjectivity, but you end up with kind of that similar score.
Yeah, that Johnny Blue and Johnny Red on the same score. That's pretty crazy. Suspect. And I gotta, that would be one of the first questions. How does that happen? Because you know those whiskeys are not. If you were the manufacturer and you put these two whiskeys up and they got the same score, you would say, "What are you talking about?"
You know what I would say if I was Johnny Walker? It doesn't matter on the blue, because that's going to sell anyway. It's got a great reputation. You know what's going to help? A silver on that bottle of red.
Just got some serious promotion. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Our red's just as good as our blue.
They're never going to tell anybody that they got the same score.
No. I think we're in the show on that. No. All right, go Johnny Walker Red.
go Johnny Walker.
Well, there you have it. Happy Thursday. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you next week. Hopefully we'll see Mark soon, and safe travels.
Take care.
Cheers. 3, 2, 1. Here we go.